And now it's time to play Do You Even? America's favorite game of how well do you know goo? In today's contestants, we have Jeffrey McNamara.
How do you do?
And we also have Goo's wife at Batty Day.
Howdy.
And today's host, we have Goo. Thank you, Goo. Goo, you even. Five questions, first to three. Oh. Knows Goo the best. We have Jeff McNamara, Goo's podcast partner, and we have his wife.
Okay, two questions.
Yes.
Is this first to answer?
Just put your hands up. Or just
do we
yell,
both get a chance to answer?
Just yell Goo if you want. Whoever says Goo first gets to go first.
Okay. Okay. And is there going to be a prize?
Friendship.
Okay. All right.
So lame.
First question up here, because this is a podcast of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Who is Goo's favorite Ninja Turtle?
Goo.
Yes, my wife.
Is it Michelangelo?
What's our son's name?
I was going to say, I gave you that one. Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I know you hate Donatello.
Right, everyone hates Donatello. He's a pencil neck geek. All right.
Do you think you would have named your son after Goo's second favorite Ninja Turtle?
Maybe.
Goo, you even. What was Goo's nickname in middle school?
Goo.
Yes, Mac.
Shamu.
Yes, it was. Shamu. Yeah. Like the whale.
Like the abused whale.
Like the whale that was beaten by SeaWorld. Goo, you even. What is Goo's shoe size? Goo shoes.
Goo.
Yes.
9.5.
But what does Goo think his shoe size is?
Oh my God. 10.5, Mac. Can you believe that?
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second. How do you think your shoe size is one full size larger than it actually is?
I'm going to grow into it.
Or he's just been buying 10.5, so he's just been buying it in every shoe. It doesn't matter.
I don't want my feet to look small.
Some shoes are like, they're not consistent in sizing.
Yeah. Nike, I'm usually half size up because they're a little more narrow.
So like, I bought him like shoes that are 9.5 and they fit perfectly.
Well, this runs into like the classic thing where most women are wearing the wrong size bras, right? So is this sort of an epidemic that we're unaware of, men wearing the wrong size shoes?
Am I overcompensating?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that can't be true. We know you have a gigantic penis, so that can't be true.
You've seen it, Mac?
I've heard stories. I've heard long tales of it.
Goo, you even. What was Goo's first job?
Oh, that's a good question. Goo?
Mac?
Did you work at the little pizza window at the skating rink?
Oh my God, that was my first job.
You didn't even know.
I thought it was Panera Bread, but Mac, you're right. I sold slices of pizza at the hockey rink.
I thought so. I thought you might. Yeah.
I think Mac has two and you have one. So this is for a tie. This is for a friendship tie. Everyone's a friend. Goo, you even. What moment ended Goo's high school hockey career before it even started?
Okay. I don't know if this is true, but it's got to be what he's talking about. Goo, I don't know if Goo started or if he came in relief freshman year. He was in the varsity. I was not. We were both goaltenders. And a gentleman from the other team cleared the puck into our own end, and Goo just went ahead and let it into the net.
Right through my legs.
Let it into the net from 90 feet away.
I just flat missed it. I wasn't trying to paddle it. I wasn't trying to hit it on the move. I just missed it.
I am lucky enough to have never done that in my goaltending career.
You never scored on yourself?
Never,
never allowed the puck
myself
to go in from the other end of the
never
ice.
Never let in a full end goal. Yeah.
And that was Goo You Even.
One Goo, three, yeah.
Mac and Goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and Goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and Goo.
I am Goo.
And I am Mac.
And we are the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship.
And today we're bringing you relationship.
Yes, that's the best kind of ship. That's what I've always heard. Either that or friend.
Sitting next to Goo, none other than his wife.
My wife, for her annual podcast, her favorite time of the year. Not only does she get to be on the show, but she gets to talk about her favorite subject, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Yep.
Yeah,
every
we're back
year.
For our annual Goo's birthday, Valentine's Day spectacular. And this is 3 years in a row we're doing a Ninja Turtles movie.
We are wrapping up the trilogy.
You also made me watch Mac and Me once, so you've made me watch four movies. Batty, I have a question for you. Now, obviously he's made you watch movies for this podcast. Of all the movies he has ever made you watch, podcast or not, has any of them ever been good?
I mean, definitely the Ninja Turtles and Mac and Me, the worst.
And for those of you who don't know, the movie that we are discussing today in honor of my birthday, I am turning 24 years old, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
I like them young.
I'll tell you what, this soundtrack is terrible, but do I sneaky love this song? Tarzan Boy?
When was this played in the movie?
At the beginning, in the credits, it's the first song on the album. Did you not listen to the album in prep?
I unfortunately did not. Did not make it to the album. I actually, you could pass for 24 if you didn't have that awful beard going right now.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Do you have grays in that beard?
I do, actually. But I've been pulling them out, so then three grow in its place.
That's hashtag math and goo
so
right there.
So this movie is so good that you can currently watch the entire thing without a break on YouTube.
Yes. It's like 95 or 96 minutes on YouTube, I think, is pretty much the whole runtime.
Yep.
So I might as well get into the nuts and bolts here. Mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, I came out in 1993. We were four at the time, Goo. We were 4 years old.
Yeah.
This is a rated PG action, adventure, and comedy with a runtime of 96 minutes. It's more like 90, 92.
Also, where is the action? Where is the adventure? Mm-hmm. Where is the comedy?
Great questions. We'll get to those. We'll answer those. Go on Rotten Tomatoes, 23% from the critics, 34% from the audience.
So the reason why it is not lower is because they hid this from the critics. Like most bad movies do, and there's a reason why I think there's only like 35 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, is because when this came out, they hit it. And it actually had a pretty good opening weekend, but then word of mouth got around, and it's, you know, hey, just watch it on VHS if you even want to see it there.
I get them numbers for you.
Yeah.
Metacritic, by the way, this is a 40, which is about 35 points higher than I thought it would be. This is written and directed by Stuart Gilliard, who's done like no other big screen
stuff. No, he does TV stuff, right?
A shit ton of TV stuff, and still does till today. So he's obviously had a pretty successful career there. I wonder if this was like the first big movie he was given, and then people saw it and were like, yeah.
Well, because it's directed and it's written by him too.
Yes, correct. So it was
clarity
all
of vision.
Did he not clarity direct the first two?
No. Oh God, no. No, no, no.
I don't remember who did the first
I don't think
two,
anyone that was associated with the first two worked on this one.
To have this clarity of vision, and really you do when you're writing and directing something, and to say, hey, I'd like to see what it's like to insert the turtles into a family war in 1600s Japan. And that's the movie. That's the whole movie.
I almost think that the first scene of this movie was shot to be a different movie. And then when the turtles said, oh shit, we need to hurry up and make a third movie while the iron is still semi-warm after Secret of the Ooze, they said, oh crap, do we have anything that can fill about 40 minutes of a 90-minute story? And they said, oh, we have pieces of this ancient Japan movie. Okay, cool. Let's put the turtles in there.
Do you think it's like the Bandai, you know, Power Ranger stuff?
I don't think Bandai owned them yet. Because I know
no,
Bandai did buy them eventually.
Yeah. Synopsis. When their closest friend, April O'Neil, discovers an ancient scepter with magical powers, the turtles must cowabunga their way back to the 17th century Japan to rescue her from the evil clutches of Lord Norinaga.
Which, is it really Lord Norinaga that's the bad guy, or is it Walker?
Yeah,
Walker
Lord Norinaga just
guy.
Wants his son back? That's not so bad.
But he also wants to rule over the villagers.
Okay, but just like one village, that's really not too bad. Like in 1600.
So the biggest thing that Mac did not mention right there, the big thing that's not associated with this movie that was associated with the first two movies is the Jim Henson Company Creature Shop. This movie, it is all effects company, and you can tell that it's different because the mouths don't line up with any of the words.
Yeah, the mouths are tough, but for the most part, it really does look the same. It's not too much worse.
Oh my God, no, go back and look at it again.
They had a blueprint from the first two movies. So
they switched them up. And also, they have these weird liver spots all over them.
Yeah.
They all look sick. They all look
ill. They're getting older. They're getting older. What do
they're all still teenagers, bro. So some other movies that the All Effects Company worked on is Johnny Five. They created the robot in Short Circuit. They also created the Energizer Bunny in all of those commercials. So good on them. They
did Short Circuit is awesome.
They did the special effects in Demolition Man, Alien Resurrection, Virus, and Stuart Little. And they also did creatures from Trilogy of Terror 2 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
All right. Well, hell of a resume there.
Yeah.
So that means they haven't worked since, like, Stuart Little.
They've had a rough go of things. They might have gone under.
Goo, this movie stars Elias Koteas as Casey Jones.
Which, hold up. First off, that's my biggest gripe with the movie, is the Turtles are about to go back in time. Mm-hmm. Michelangelo goes, guys, I just called a guy that we didn't have in Secret of the Ooze, but everyone loved from the first movie. I called him back. He's going to be in our adventure. Oh, wait. No, he's not. He's going to stay here, modern time, with four samurai and this splinter that's not finished.
And babysit them.
And babysit them.
And not fight and anyone.
About, yes. How about that slapdick comment he makes when he comes back? He's like, God, been a while, hey?
I'm here to bash some skulls. Not this time, Casey. Son of a bitch, Leo.
And of course, he's playing a real parent trap situation here. He's the bearded English guy in 1603 Japan.
So is he related to modern day Casey Jones? Is that what they're trying to do here?
I don't know what they're doing. His name's Whit.
They never made it clear.
No, but that rat that April sees while in jail, definitely related to Splinter. If not, is Splinter.
Could have been. Could have been.
How long do rats live? Actually, years. Yeah, how long do rats live?
500 years, yeah.
That was Splinter.
Paige Turkle.
Really?
No.
Like a
I
year.
Certainly hope That's not. Jesus.
Paige Turkle reprises her role as April O'Neil.
From Ooze.
Do you prefer April 2.0 or April 1.0?
So I like April from the second movie more, looks-wise at least. The first one might be a better actress, but she looks terrible in this one. What's up with her haircut?
I don't know. I don't know what they were going for there. But, you know, I prefer April 2 over April 1.
Legorama. Swing.
I like how that just turns into a nice little skirt too.
Which then,
an unbelievable little skirt.
When the Japanese guy goes back in time, he's wearing that skirt. Which, let's just talk about time travel for a second here. What are the rules of, so when they switch clothes.
Yeah.
But they can bring weaponry back with them or a Walkman?
Well, and I don't understand why the Japanese people coming forward have these little onesies on, like turtle shells.
Right.
What I also love, too. So Michelangelo puts a pair of shorts on, and they said, what are you doing, Mikey? And he said, well, we saw what happened to April. They switched clothes. So I figure when the Japanese guys come forward, we want to be wearing clothes, too, so they aren't naked. And then Splinter yells, enough with this science mumbo jumbo. It's time to go back in time, because Splinter wanted to see some peen.
I hadn't considered that angle. We're going to have to work on that one. Stuart Wilson plays Walker here, and he's actually pretty well cast.
He tries like his best.
And like a shitty asshole British guy.
Was he in Lethal Weapon 3, I want to say?
I don't know, but he reminds me of the shithead British guy in The Patriot.
He's the shithead British guy from every movie with the shithead British guy.
Sab Shimono plays Lord Norinaga. Mm-hmm. Vivian Wu as Mitsu. She's the lady warrior.
Mikey Kazo. Wants to get in, you know. Hey,
yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Rough her up a little bit. Mark Kazo is Leonardo. Matt Hill is Raphael. Jim Raposa is Donatello. David Fraser is Michelangelo. James Murray as Splinter. Aiden Hanzai as Kenshin. He's the time traveling Asian guy, the first one that comes through, mm-hmm. The son of Norinaga. And then John Alward plays Niles. He's like the gross pirate guy, the number two pirate guy.
Oh, Mr. Shmi?
Yeah, Mr. Shmi.
Who gets wet willied several times. Was that a fun thing in 1992?
Apparently. I don't know. I don't
or
know.
Or 1600s. Well, no.
Oh, yeah. Good point. 1992. Good point. Maybe in 1603, that's when the Wet Willie came about.
Because of the turtles.
In the first movie, their references aren't necessarily timely, but they're more timeless of movies that everyone has seen.
Yep.
This movie, none of the references make any sense.
To me, I was thinking about that. The references are all over the place, but I was thinking, well, maybe the turtles have had a little more time. Maybe they're watching more random movies, and yeah, so that's why.
Which,
but they're all over the map.
My favorite one, and this is in all of the trailers. I watched all of the teasers, all of the trailers. There is one line, there is one consistency throughout all of these because they must have loved it. They love this so much, and it was...
Hey, you were expecting maybe the Addams Family?
Good one.
Raphael's face when Donatello says that, he is so content. He is so happy. He is like, that is the greatest burn of all time. My like, brother is so fucking
Addams
cool.
Family, like that movie we just watched, like that show. Oh, man. What a reference.
Yes. The ancient Japanese man walked into the room, saw four green turtles and said, I was expecting the Addams Family.
Goo, TMNT3
yeah,
debuted at number one at the U.S. box office with a gross of $12.4 million from over 2,000 screens on that opening weekend. The film went on to gross $42.3 million in the U.S. and Canada and $12.5 million internationally, giving it like $54-55 million worldwide on a $21 million budget. So this fucking movie more than doubled its money.
But that's $33 million. That's quite the fall off, though.
Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
That was her favorite line during the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big success, though. Honestly, like that's a huge success.
But it wasn't big enough for them to make a fourth movie. And,
well, yeah, but this movie was horrible.
But also, each of the movies, the amount of money got like slashed in half every single time.
That sort of makes sense. But coming off Secret of the Ooze, how does this debut at number one? How
that's a that good happen? Point. And I do want to give them credit for not doing Shredder again, but there are so many Ninja Turtle villains and characters. Now, maybe they didn't have the rights to certain characters, because I know that was the issue in Secret of the Ooze when they couldn't use Bebop and Rocksteady, but... like, you have Baxter Stockman, you have Krang. Krang might have been too hard to do. You have the Rat King, you have Leatherhead, you have so many different characters. And they said, let's make Walker. Let's make this old Japanese guy. These are the villains that the kids want to see.
They were really just capitalizing on early 90s hate of elderly British men. That's what it is.
Well, so much of it is stolen from, like, Die Hard. Even the way that the guy dies is Hans Gruber.
It's a total Hans Gruber thing.
Guys, go back and watch it right now. When he falls into the water, he disappears halfway through.
So did he really die? Right?
He falls into Dimension X. So Dan Silver points out that the fourth movie was kind of in this lineage, and that came out in 2007. I don't count that.
The animated movie.
Yeah, it was the animated one, which is actually a pretty good movie.
It is pretty good.
Are we watching that?
Probably not for next year. It's too good. Might have to skip to the 2014 one.
The Michael Bay one?
With Toe Thumb there.
Who?
Megan Fox.
Oh.
let's get into the gauntlet here, Gil.
Okay, well, first, before we get into the gauntlet, so the movie is shot in Oregon.
Oh, really?
It looks pretty good. It looks, I don't know what ancient Japan looks like, but it looks like it could have been.
Yeah,
cinematography isn't bad in this. The opening scene is shot very well. It doesn't belong in the movie, but
yeah, the set pieces here are totally fine. Like the subway, the set pieces are totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
It is the writing,
yeah,
and
the story.
Yeah, that
it's
is
mainly
so,
the story.
So bad.
Well, the story, but you got to get back to the animatronics. The animatronics on the turtles are so bad, and I think the heads are so heavy that they couldn't hold them up to do the martial arts. And that's why the martial arts are super slow in this movie.
I think you're giving too much credit to the other movies, though, with the turtles.
I'm sorry. I'm giving too much credit to Jim Henson, the greatest puppeteer of all time.
The other two movies don't do a great job with the martial arts either.
The first one does a much better job.
They are better than this one.
Although I will say that Donatello and his fighting in this movie, not the worst, because they actually let him use his stick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just straight whacking people in the face.
And they give you a quick tease. You think Leo's going to behead someone as well.
You know what would have been great in any of these movies? If Raphael just straight up stabbed somebody.
I would have liked to stab. Yeah,
just one,
a little bit
just
of blood
one somewhere. Murder. All I'm asking for is one murder.
Although they rated it PG, though, which is so... This is borderline one of the most boring PG movies ever.
It's
like,
incredibly
it's not
boring.
Kids.
It's so
There's no
boring.
Fun. There's nothing in here for
the
adults.
The turtles don't even go back to Japan until like 30 minutes into the movie. And prior to that, they just make Elvis Presley and Hawaii references. And one more thing before we get into the gauntlet, because I'm stretching this out as long as I want, because it's my birthday.
Sure,
I can do whatever I want. I can cry if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
The action figures for this movie were actually pretty dope.
Well, yeah. So the turtles in like the ancient Japanese, it's not even ancient, but
with
the 1600 Japanese, the samurai armor. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And they all came out with that.
As you see behind me here. Cool.
They
visual.
Already kind of look like action figures as it is. So
it's true. That is true.
All right, Mac, let's get into the gauntlet here. I believe it is the 8 deadly sins of cinema. First one up here is Fun Factor. And for being what it is, a Ninja Turtles movie, this is incredibly boring.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the notes here, the timeline, and I'm trying to think of a moment where there was a little bit of fun. Ah, here we go. The only moment of fun, the 1600 Japanese people discovering hockey in the 1990s.
So now,
that's it.
The only moment of fun. I preferred when Raphael discovered that they had kites in ancient Japan. He saw the kites and he said, "That looks like fun, Yoshi. Go play some kites." And then Raphael goes
also,
like this.
The conversations with young Yoshi. Bizarre.
I don't
so
like
bizarre.
The relationship between those two or Michelangelo and what's her name? Mitsu?
Yeah, Mitsu.
Yeah, I don't appreciate either of those. I don't like them one bit.
Very weird.
If anything, I would like them just to stay in their own shack and then pop out when needed. Also, Leonardo made out with the kid.
Yeah, it's not. I have a I have an EMT correction there when we get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that soon. Satisfactor. This is about as satisfying as Secret of the Ooze, which is more an insult to the second movie, which is not great. This is not good, but did I have more fun than I expected that I would with the movie? No. So why would I even ask myself that question? What was I expecting?
You,
the Addams Family?
If you
family?
Allow me to hey,
you
join the conversation.
Maybe the Addams Family?
Good one.
If you would allow me to join the conversation between you and you, I think that this movie is as satisfying as, like, in the morning when you're like, I got to use the bathroom. I got a number two coming.
And you only get half out?
And yeah, you finish and you walk away. And like a minute and a half later, you're like, I didn't get it all out. God damn it. And you got to go back. That's what
so
this
you're
movie
saying is.
Is
that this movie is as satisfying as taking half a shit.
Yes.
It's a shame they didn't let you review the movie for the poster. Dana, were you satisfied by this?
No. Not at all.
Barometer was garden level. It was through the roof. It broke the meter.
We have to get a new one.
Yeah, as I stated to you guys right before we started recording, with like 25 minutes left in the movie, the zenith, the pinnacle where shit's happening, I had to get up and put away some dishes.
And you were like, dishes sound pretty good right now.
Yeah, I was like, shit, I gotta go put those dishes away. I went and did that and came back 10 minutes later.
Aquator, this movie does not float. The turtles do not float. They sink like a stone.
Yeah, this movie sinks like my half shit. It does not... Does not float.
You shit sinkers?
They've fallen and they can't get up.
Hold on. All your poops
Help,
float?
I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Yeah, all of yours float. That's
for the most part. I have very buoyant shits.
Man. I don't know about that. We're going to need you to take a picture for the next week of each and every one.
Of
next
the
one
shits?
Up. Yes, of the shits.
They do float.
Say they do float. That's why she's here. That's why she's here, Mac. All right, Mac, next one up here, and this is the tip of the cap brought to you by... Not brought to you by Tarzan Boy. Sorry, guys.
It needs to be quality on my end, otherwise no fucking deal.
Stanzo brand fedoras, and I want to give credit to the actors that are trying so hard in this and are just doing their best.
Yeah, I guess I would give it to Stuart Wilson as Walker. It seems like
either
you said,
him
it seems
or
like he's trying for the most part.
Moriyama. Moriyagi.
That's not a character.
Who's the ancient Japanese guy?
Lord Norinaga.
I just said that, right?
No.
Check the tape, guys. They're both doing their best. That's all I can say.
Fair enough.
Even April O'Neil, she's a news reporter. She didn't report any news. She's like, oh, I want to be on vacation.
I don't think they had news in 1603. It wasn't a thing.
First off, you mentioned 1603. I have the poster to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 right behind us, and it says 1593 on there.
How did they fuck that up so bad?
They couldn't get their shit together.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. It's not even close to the same.
No. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Hot dog. Hot dog. And for those who turned to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog rating system. Mac, do you want to let our guest give the hot dog score first?
Yeah, Batty, lead us off here.
A 5, and that's generous.
I don't have my notes in front of me. I think you gave all 3 movies a 5.
Really?
Yes.
Possibly.
She wasn't too harsh on the first one, I don't think, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
She told me that it sucked several times.
They all suck.
The second one deserved a 5.
You should have showed her in reverse order so she could appreciate the other ones more.
I think so too. And just to bounce off of her 5. The biggest disappointment here is that this movie is not a 0, because a 0 is at least so bad that it's fun, so bad that it's good. And I, for the longest time, thought this movie was so bad that it's good. And upon rewatch, it is just boring.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
It is just boring. And
it's boring.
It is garbage. This was the buildup. This was the whole point of this podcast, was getting to this point. And this movie is just terrible.
Yeah, but it's not like... it's not like grossly terrible where it makes you mad.
No.
It's just boring.
It's just boring.
It's and boring.
So you can't give it a 0. You might go towards a 5 or a 7, somewhere around there.
See, to me, and I get that, like under 10 is like so bad it's good for me. Like comically bad, giving like an outrageous number.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm giving this like 16. Ooh. 16 for 1603. It's just, it's terrible.
Why not 15 for 1593?
Super boring. Pretty much anything under a 20, like 10 to 19 is all the same to me. I'll give this 16 because of 1603. It's not good, but
it's
like
call by Dan Silver, though. This is a great part of the movie when Michelangelo is making pizza and he burns it and then he throws it. And then Donatello goes, oh, who frisbeed my face?
See, I don't remember that part.
You got to pay attention. That was a great part.
Build their own time traveling scepter. It's like this movie, and I didn't even want to watch this movie, but even then it still like didn't make me mad. I don't know if it's because it's short. I don't know if it's because I walked away because I didn't like the movie.
At 90 minutes, you could have told me there was 22 minutes of footage here and I would have believed you.
Yeah, it's just, it's inoffensive too. Like there's not, they don't take many risks. Like it's just,
well,
it's a bad movie.
This was the riskiest, most adult joke in the movie, is when April and the Japanese guy switch bodies. You can hear Michelangelo in the background say,
how did you get in April's pants?
He's been wondering that for 2 movies. He's been wanting to get into those yellow overalls for 2 movies. The yellow jumpsuit.
Would you rather watch this again or Mac and Me?
Mac and Me, easily. I love Mac and Me.
See, Mac and Me makes me mad.
Because you see it and you're like, this is a movie about a Mac. This is for me.
Because no. Mac and Me leads me down the path of like, how the fuck did this get made? How did they do this?
Where,
how
yeah, did like they these, do that? Like these were at least a popular property. It was a fading popular property, obviously, because they had burnt themselves out. But this was at least a well-known licensed material. And that's the reason why the movie was made.
It is just sort of incredible to think back, though. Seeing that it was number one on opening weekend, and it's this bad.
Another
How
line.
Were the other two? Were they number one too?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Yes, yes. They were both number one. The first one surprised everyone because they thought it was too dark and it might kind of scare some of the kids off, but the kids loved it. The parents, they actually hated it because of all the weaponry and, you know, all the nunchucking, because kids were all nunchucking their eyes out and stuff.
Who's nunchucking?
But yeah, all three of them debuted at number one.
It's my money, and I need it now!
All right, Mac, do you want to go ahead and do some quick timelining? I'll use my timeline, because I have great, great details. And if you want to jump in, go ahead and jump
in. Sure.
The opening to this movie is way too artsy.
Yeah, they do a little fade of red sun into like
they run on the beach
a regular time, and then there's horses and swords and fighting, and you're like, oh, this is a little intriguing.
But then it's 7 minutes long, and you say, wait a second, where are the turtles?
Yeah, why are we? And the opening card before we even get there, it says Japan 1603.
Right,
and you're like, hold on a second, I don't know what's going on here.
So a very popular arcade game at the time was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
In Time.
So they did not use that during the movie release, but
which
then
is insane.
When they released the DVDs later on, they tacked it on.
Did they really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Yes.
So I wonder if this fellow, what's his name? Dummy, idiot, director, writer, if he got the idea from the video game.
So I don't think he did. And then I think he saw, oh, wait, this is a popular game. I'll slap this on. Or the movie company did it. Because I don't know how they came to the conclusion of going back to ancient Japan. It doesn't make any sense. And I get it.
None.
They are ninjas, but there aren't any ninjas in this movie besides them. There are samurais, as Walker would say.
It definitely would have made more sense for them to go to a time
where there were ninjas.
Or to set them in a story with ninjas.
Yes. If you need to go to Japan, if you need to time travel, have it make sense.
Because the time travel is already not going to make sense the way you explain it.
No.
So get crazy with it. Go to a ninja place.
And this movie has, bar none, the worst reveal of the turtles. In the first one, you have a great, great reveal where they pop out from behind the swords. It's the first time you're ever seeing these puppets come to life. And it's going to blow your mind if you're a kid. Second one, not my favorite, but they jump out of the air at freeze frames and then they fight the bad guys in the mall. Good enough. In this one, they dance to what I thought was a bootleg ZZ Top song, and then I looked it up and it's just a bad ZZ Top song. They dance several times in this movie, and then they work out by dancing.
Yeah, you get reintroduced to the turtles by them individually dancing and then showing off their weapons. And you're like, I don't think anyone here has never heard of the turtles. We don't need to do this.
No. And then my biggest question is, when they were going into production, when they were going into shooting, did they just assume that they still had the old puppet for the first Master Splinter, the one that was in the first two movies? And then when they got there, they said, oh no, no one preserved the puppet. We need to slap something together as quickly as possible. I don't know, boss. I can only make half a puppet right now. That's fine. We'll hide him in a window. We'll have him sit down and we'll only shoot from the half up.
Oh, is he like taking orders at a restaurant? No. He just, some reason, has a takeout window in the subway.
Like Goo's old job. Like his first pizza job.
Goo, yes. The pizza window.
By the way, I put on so much weight doing that because as you're waiting for people to buy more pizza, you eat the pizza, and also you take the hot dogs and you put nacho cheese on it.
Mm.
It's good
stuff. By the way, so you guys have been frequenting the Detroit pizza place in Framingham.
Yes.
And so I myself also consider myself a pizza connoisseur. That skating rink pizza was pretty good. Pretty good pizza.
I didn't like it. I did not like it, but I ate it all the time.
All right. Well, yeah. I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Do you still eat there, Mac?
No, I am.
Do you still go to the John A. Ryan Arena?
I haven't been to the John A. Ryan skating arena in a couple of years, but that's where we
used to play.
Jar?
Yeah, go to the jar?
The old jar.
Wait, have you been to the Detroit pizza place?
No, I'm not driving 30 minutes for pizza.
Well, our family, we drive for food.
We drive over an hour for Chinese food. It's crazy.
Insane. I mean, like, because Gianna lives out in Framingham, so next time I'll go visit her, I'll stop at that place.
Let me ask you a question. What is the deal with the Ninja Turtles' teeth?
They didn't get braces.
They are huge teeth, and their lips are constantly showing the whole tooths.
Well, to Dana's point, they are teenagers, and maybe they're due for an orthodontist appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So April goes back in time. The time traveling doesn't make any sense. Obviously, it's mass displacement, and we could all figure that out in 5 to 6 minutes. So don't worry about that, guys. But I just don't get why she could take her Walkman back, and he could take his sword with him, and then the turtles could all bring their weapons with them. And it just doesn't make any sense.
It's all convenience. None of it makes sense.
All convenience. And another great line when they switched, when April switched into the Japanese guy, is this.
She's a man! Huh?
They weren't concerned that their friend April disappeared. They just yelled, she's a man.
Yeah, that's it. That's all they had. That's all the writer of this movie could come up with. And I also questioned, so April's out, you know, shopping for gifts because she's going on a vacation. And
flea market.
To,
garbage. Here's this garbage I found, guys.
Whatever. You know, flea market. She's picking things. Why would she think this little old rat would like a staff lamp? What about Splinter tells you he would like that?
It's like, hey, I found this in a dumpster. There's some shit on it, but you can probably clean it off, man.
A homeless man just pissed on it, but if you just wiped it down, you're probably all set.
And then just my biggest gripe with the movie is Michelangelo makes this big deal that Casey Jones is back. And you're like, how is Casey going to play into this? He's not, you idiot.
That was super embarrassing. You're a fucking moron.
I know I am.
And also, Casey's wig in this movie, not great.
No, and it's so obvious when you see them cutting back and forth and you're like, wait a second, his hair is ridiculous in this.
Yeah, and he's got a receding hairline. You can tell Elias is getting up there. He's no longer like 22. He's closer to 30. You're like, oh man, he's losing it.
Just April meeting the ancient Splinter and the ancient Casey Jones is just so stupid too. Another huge waste of time.
I know.
Is that what ancient Japanese underwear looked like, you think?
That's
just
a great
paper?
Question.
It's
great
just
question.
Paper?
I also don't understand why. I don't know. There would just never be paintings of turtle demons in any mythology.
And so detailed,
like,
too.
Incredibly dumb.
Like, if they were at least black and white and they were kind of more like blobbish, they weren't so in detail to what they look like. Look, I'm trying to suspend my belief here, guys. Right.
It was really hard to color things in 1603. So they're not going to use all that green.
If you're going to take leaps like that, I'm not going to buy into this time-traveling turtle movie. Also, when they go back in time, these turtles have giant heads. I doubt any Japanese man now or then would have a helmet that fits them.
I agree 100%. I don't know how the fuck they're going to explain that way. Moreover, they give us this bullshit line because immediately everyone's speaking English in Japan in 1603, and you're like,
right,
what the fuck is this? And then I think Raph says, or someone says, England started trading with Japan in the
Donatello
late 16th
says
century.
This. Yes.
Oh, Donatello says it. Yeah.
Well, he says it, but then Raph says, shut up. Like, Raph tells him,
you're like, oh, they started trading with England, so now everyone can just speak English.
Okay, so I understood the royalty knowing how to speak English because that makes sense. But then when they went to the village, all these town folk spoke perfectly fine English.
Yep.
Yoshi Where speaking English was the most insane thing in the whole movie.
Like, who
taught
him?
How is this little boy speaking English?
But a guy that did speak English is Walker, and he could not pronounce the word samurai. And he said it at least 10 times in the movie, and he kept on saying samurai.
Do you think he argued with people on set about how it was pronounced? And he says, no, I'm pronouncing it this way. This is how it's said.
Or when the camera was off, he could say it fine. And then when the camera's on, samurai.
Samurai. Okay, Sam and then Arai. Samurai. No, no.
After all of these great, great fight scenes, all these great, great battle scenes, we get the grandpa who hid the scepter because he wanted the demons to help him.
Yeah, I don't.
This is after Donatello tried to work with an iron worker to create a new one.
Yeah, how is that going to work? Where are they going to get the magic for that?
He is just a scientist that looks who like just it. Figured out time travel, and then he acts like a fucking idiot when they're in ancient Japan. Who is he, the professor trying to make a fucking radio out of coconuts?
I also hate how they all flew down the sewer poop chute, and then Japan Casey was nowhere to be found, and they all get up and walk away, and then Japan Casey pops up and is like, oh, where is everybody?
When Japan Casey pops out from behind that tree.
Yeah, when did he get there?
He's been sitting there for three effing hours waiting for them.
When did he get there? Was he peeping on April? Did he think April was going to get nudie in the river?
Well, she did cut her thing, but so his plan is so stupid. He's a hired spy that knew that they would get the scepter back, and then he would double cross them because he knew that he looked like someone that they knew in the future. So he was able to gain their trust and then go back to Walker. But when Walker starts talking down to him again, which I assume he's always done, he says, no, wait, I want to go back with them.
Yeah. And how did they have that little catapult aimed right where Walker was? How does that make sense?
Well, they were planning on blowing up those cages, those with all the birds in them, because this guy loved birds.
Oh yeah, what the fuck was that?
Okay, so
why
this guy
did he
is
have
gross.
A love for birds?
So not only the birds. At one point, he eats a plum, and it's fucking disgusting. You can hear all of the plum juice getting everywhere, and he's like suckling on it.
Sounds like you.
Like as if it wasn't a part of the movie, he forgot the cameras are on, and he's like, "Oh shit, a plum!" And he starts eating the plum.
Do you remember? You opened an episode of Mac and Goo eating chips once, and there was like three listeners that were ready to stop.
It was our Dumbo episode. And then when we had a live episode like 3 weeks later, and they said, when you started eating chips in that episode, I was already iffy on listening to a Dumbo episode. I turned it off immediately.
There was also a line in the third act here when the Brits show up to the village, and one of the turtles says, oh no, guns. And then I think Raph says, there goes the neighborhood.
So there was that. And then when the turtles chase the people out of the castle, Leonardo says a very un-Leonardo-like line of, this hallway smells like geeks.
Yeah, really fucking smashed them.
Like, that would have been funny if Michelangelo or Raphael says it. That's something that they would say. Cool but crude party dude. But the leader is going to say this?
Right. He's not calling anyone a geek.
No,
he's all about
smells like tech. Smells like geeks, though. The turtles do so many kicks in this movie because they are not allowed to use their weapons. It's all kicks.
A lot of kicks.
And then Leo jokingly cuts Noriaga's hair.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you know, jokingly cuts his hair. Can you look a little more interested over here?
And then, I am. I'm reading.
Oh, you're reading my notes.
Yeah.
How far are you away from the notes? That's good reading skills.
Well, I have it giant on the screen.
Okay.
So he playfully cuts his hair. And then as he's running away, he cuts a one-ton Liberty Bell onto him that could have murdered him easily if it did not properly place him in the middle.
Yeah, just cut his head off. Just cut his fucking head off.
Just kill him. Who cares?
How awesome would that have been? Real plot twist. There.
And then they do the stupid cannonball thing where they do, I love being a turtle, and he popped his head down, and then they turn around, and they get Don King.
What's up, Don King?
And then, what I do like about the movie is that in the third act, Noriaga is a cartoon character. Like, all of his dignity is gone. They should have cut his belt so his pants fell. Just make a fool out of him.
And he's wearing some gross bloomers underneath.
And they're made out of white paper.
Yeah, and then this concludes with Japan Casey catapulting fucking old British dude, Hans Gruber style.
As the old British dude is going up the stairs and the turtles are following him, Michelangelo yells, oh, this is great for your calves.
He said that?
Yeah. And then Donatello says, this might be the worst line in all three of the movies. So Donatello and Leonardo both say this.
What kind of demons are you?
We're turtles, friend. The Teenage Mutant Ninja variety. Sleazeball. Yeah.
And then Raphael, once again, is so happy with what Donatello just said. And he looks at Mike and he's like, man, our brother's the best.
If you're gonna, like, borderline break the fourth wall there, you should do something cool immediately after. And not just let it sit in the air like they let it.
What they should have done is when they were working on the movie and they said that line, they should have stopped production and said, guys, what have we done? It just dawned on me, none of this works. None of this makes any sense. And that line is so stupid.
What kind of demons are you?
We're turtles, friend. The Teenage Mutant Ninja variety. Sleazeball. Yeah.
And then Raphael twirls his side, too.
The fact that they would ever be aware of them being called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is insane.
That's, like, that's not even like, so say if in the movie they're like, oh, we're the X-Men. That makes sense. Professor
makes
X,
a lot of
they've
sense.
Called themselves the X-Men or Avengers Assemble. They've called themselves the Avengers and they assemble. Calling themselves the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is insane.
Ninja Turtles would make sense.
Yes.
The Teenage Mutant part doesn't make any sense. They would never know that.
I'm going to fix the line really quickly.
What kind of demons are you?
We're turtles, friend.
And we know ninja. Or, I'm sorry.
You somehow didn't fix it.
Let me try that again.
What kind of demons are you?
We're turtles, friend.
And we know ninjutsu. Sleazeball.
Better. There it is. Better.
Let's try one more
time.
Two
takes, but you got it.
What kind of demons are you?
We're turtles, friend.
Reaganomics. That's Donatello for you. He likes the trickle-down effect.
Big trickle-down guy.
And then after Christopher Columbus gets blown to bits. And he
Christopher Columbus was Italian.
And he falls into the river or the ocean, wherever they are. I don't know. They're on a CGI castle. When he falls into the water.
Japan is in the ocean. So
he disappears.
Yeah, I'd say the ocean.
Fine. Whatever. Globe.
Mac does look like a globe.
Next Halloween, you should go as a globe.
And I love globes, Mac.
Whenever we're at Target, Home Goods, anywhere that has a globe, she picks it up and she says, can we get this? And I'm like, we already have several globes. We have no
globes
need
are good
for
home
any
accent
of the globes.
Pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Globes are only good for when you're going on a trip and you don't know where you want to go. You say, I'm going to. I'm going to the Sudan again. Crap.
Oh, my video froze. I
That's
can't
all right.
See.
I can hear
you. We're back.
Yeah, you're
we're
good.
Back.
So after they defeat him, both Michelangelo and Raphael both want to stay.
Yeah, for are they both wanna bang? Like, what? Why?
I really hope not.
What are they staying back there for?
Well, I understand Michelangelo kinda, or was it Raphael in the series? One of the two wanted to be out of the shadows and live amongst the people. So that does kind of make sense that they could do that.
Yeah, but not really, because
Donatello,
you're way more likely to be killed in 1603 for being a mutant ninja turtle than in fucking 1993.
I know, you sleazeball, but they also, Donatello told them that if they don't get back in time, if they don't hit their watch and get back there at the precise time, they would die. Correct? At the beginning of the movie, he said, if we don't get back in time, we are going to die.
Yeah, but when was their time going to run out? They said like 2 or 3 days, but why would they know that?
Because Donatello knows science. He does machines. He had an IBM computer.
Remember that, by the way, when he used to print stuff in the 90s and it would come with the little circles, perforated edges, and you'd have to rip those off?
Yep.
What was that all about? Could you just give us regular paper?
It's bullshit, Mac. It's just bullshit. And the last that we ever see of these turtles, the last that we ever see of the 1990s puppeteered turtles is them once again dancing. Dancing to cheer,
dance party.
To cheer Mikey up because we got the old switcheroo. We like, oh, maybe Mikey did stay back in ancient Japan. No, because the time traveling scepter doesn't make any sense and it can do whatever it wants. So it only brought three of them back at first or four of them back and then it brought the other one back after.
And I,
Casey Jones just disappeared too. He wasn't there when everyone showed up again.
Yeah, because he had already grown a beard at that point, and he's like, "Nah, I'm not shaving my beard for one."
You know
machine.
What would have been great is if they cut to him and they forgot that he didn't have his wig on and he had a beard, and they're like, "Oh shit, he's the 1600 Casey Jones. I guess we'll just leave it.
Yeah, just we'll figure it out later.
We'll fix it in post.
No one's gonna notice it. It's fine." Although that would have been great if they accidentally switched them and then it cuts to Casey Jones after in ancient Japan just slaying broads and beating people up. That's a movie I want to see.
Okay. All right. There's something there. Yeah.
It's better
sure.
than what we got,
sure.
dude.
Yeah. He'd become a pirate.
So the final line by Splinter in this movie, because all these movies are always capped off by Splinter saying something.
Yeah.
Splinter puts a lampshade on his head and he said, like Elvis in Blue Hawaii. And then Mikey loses his shit because it's the funniest thing anyone's ever said.
Callback.
All right, guys. So this movie was not good. It's not even a bad enough movie to be fun to watch as a goof. Give me Batman and Robin over this any day.
I agree 100%. But that's like, to me, Batman, like Batman and Robin. And I guess I'm trying to, like, cause Mac and Me makes me mad, but Batman and Robin doesn't. And I don't know if that's because Batman and Robin is much more like geared towards me. I don't know.
You look like Mac though, Mac.
Mac, do you know that
Peggy, is that why you don't like it?
That's what it is.
Peggy is short for Margaret. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, you knew that. Dana, have you seen Batman and Robin? Yeah, you actually watched it with me. We're doing that next birthday, so don't worry. It has been sets.
Let's get into MaxSack.
And MaxSack could be anything. It could be a boat. And this week it is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Guys, go on Manscaped.com. Promo code MACANDGOO, MACANDGU. Get the perfect package kit. It is 20% off when you use MACANDGOO, and it will make you look nice. I know that Valentine's Day is in the rear view, but St. Patrick's Day, you're not allowed to go out, but, you know, just get
well,
nice
even
tidy
moreover.
Yeah.
If you got hot and heavy with your significant other on Valentine's Day and you noticed there was a little too much hair down yonder, perfect chance to get the Manscaped Lawnmower.
Or,
Lawnmower
3.0. Maybe it's getting itchy. Maybe you got something crawling around down there. You shave it off, nowhere for it to hide. That's what I've always said.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Mac, you going to ask me what I've been watching? Oh, that's the wrong one.
Yes, I won't.
There's too many sounders today. That's my big issue. There's just too many to go around. That's what the issue is. This door can open both ways.
Figure out the issues.
So, Mac, want to ask me what I've been watching?
What have you been watching?
So, the wife and me and my wife.
Yeah,
you know,
my wife and I.
We've watched two movies over this past weekend. On Friday, we kicked it off with To All the Boys, Always and Forever. Nice little rom-com. Lara Jean capped off her trilogy. We now know the finale of her and Pete, how they're going to end up. Well, kind of. We just know that they're going off into their future. They have a chance, but can they make long distance work?
Dun, dun, dun.
I want to ask him about the other movie, Mac.
That, as a trilogy ender, better than this?
Yes. Oh, my God. Because it at least, you could watch all three of those movies, and they all look like they're made by the same people.
Fair enough.
This looks like it's made by Saban for Fox Kids.
And what was the second movie that you watched?
Mac, the second movie that we watched was Judas and the Black Messiah.
Ooh,
tell you right
I'm
now,
excited
this
for
is
that one.
This is an early nominee to get into the Mac and Goofy vault.
Really? That
yeah,
good,
this
huh?
is so
really good.
Good.
That makes me excited.
Kahlua is so good in it. Lakeith Stanfield is good in everything.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But really, there's no one in here that's bad. And Meth Damon does a fantastic job again.
Can you give the people a quick, like, one or two sentence synopsis to get them to watch it?
It is the 1960s Black Panther Party. The FBI sends a mole in there to infiltrate, find out their secrets, and try and be one step ahead of them.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a mystery. Is there a murder? A little murder mystery?
So there's not a murder mystery, but there is a lot of murder.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of very...
So it's just a murder.
A lot
it's
of
a murder movie.
Disheartening, sad murder.
Okay.
It's heavy. It's a heavy watch.
It's a real heavy watch, especially by
how
the
long
end.
Is it?
2 hours. Both of them are 2 hours.
Yeah. So
which
I
hate, by the way, like rom-coms shouldn't be 2 hours, in my opinion.
Was that movie?
Hour 90 for rom-coms, yeah.
Was that, I mean, a, hour 30, was that 2 hours, though?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
It was.
To All the Boys? Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like 2 hours. It felt like it was 5 minutes. It flew. It was.
You enjoyed it.
It was a delight. I like all these movies. They're just, it's fun stuff. Mac, what have you been watching lately?
I have found my newest or latest show to have on in the background since The Office is off of Netflix. I have been watching Superstore on Hulu. And it's pretty good.
The movie
it's pretty
with
good.
Mary Catherine Gallagher?
Yes, that's the one. That is the
one.
You said
Superstar, right?
Yeah, Superstar. I've just been playing it on repeat for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. This movie, I mean, this show has America Ferrera.
Yeah.
She was from Ugly Betty. She's like one of the main two characters. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. I think anyone that ever worked in any sort of store will relate to a lot of the shit that goes on. And it's not hysterical, but there are like a number of laughs.
So it's just funny enough?
Yes.
How many seasons?
It's like, I'm not sure. I'm in season 3. I think it's at least 5.
Are you going to watch Kenan's new show?
Nope.
How about Baby Rock?
Nope. The Rock story would be a good movie. I don't think it's going to be a
good
show.
I think so, too. Like, because I feel like if it's a show, they're going to stretch it out, and it's not going to be a believable thing that happened in his life. They'll have some stuff that he obviously did, but you can't stretch that out over a 5-season thing, because I assume with the popularity of The Rock and network television that'll cling to anything for as long as possible, this might run for 8 seasons.
Well, and it looks like they've got a really young Rock and like a teenager Rock. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to do like an Everybody Hates Chris thing where it's going to be sort of set him as a teenager, but they're going to flash back to really young Rock and shit like that. And I just don't know if it's going to work.
But it's going to do a lot. It's going to make a lot of money for them. They're going to let it roll for as long
as possible.
People
like Rock, so people will watch.
All right, guys, if you made it to this point in the podcast, please tweet us a GIF of your favorite moment from this amazing, amazing movie. Mine, of course, is the one that they like the most.
Hey, you were expecting maybe the Addams Family?
Good one.
Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac, Shift 7, Goo. It includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Speaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Also Spotify. Spotify is super fun and useful. I'm all over the Spotify these days. But the most important platform is iTunes. Get onto iTunes. Subscribe to us. Rate us. Review us. 5 stars. If you do that, Goo is going to sling a t-shirt into your mailbox at some point.
I am going to get the t-shirt gun out. I'm going to blast it in your face. tpublic.com merch. So much merch there. Just buy it all.
I didn't tell you where the t-shirts were from. They're from Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mott Auburn Street in Watertown. Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
tpublic.com merch. Batty Day, where can we find you?
At Batty Day on Instagram. If you want to see pictures of Raffy.
Baby!
The baby. He's asleep right now, by the way. He's actually watching TV. He's watching R-rated movies by himself.
Eating popcorn.
He's eating popcorn and watching R-rated movies.
What's his like go-to? What's his superstore right now?
Oh, my God. We just put on Sesame Street music every single day. We just go to YouTube, and there's playlists there that are like 2.5 hours long. And we just kind of rotate them. Or we put on the Bluey theme song on a loop.
Well, how's he doing with that jumper? Is he getting super athletic?
Oh, he loves it. Oh, he just jumps all over the place.
I wish they had adult versions of those.
They do. You can buy them in porn stores, Mac.
I just don't know if the studs could support my weight. That'd be a real, real interesting situation.
All right, guys. And also, you can find later this week, not only a news dump on this channel, but on a separate feed, I got a new show coming out, and that is called I Got WandaVision, a WandaVision podcast. So if you're looking for the episode recap, it'll not be on this channel. I will tweet it out, but it'll be on a separate iTunes feed. And what you want to do is rate, subscribe, and review to that feed, because make my monster grow.
If you want to listen to people talk about WandaVision after the episode is over, if you finished the episode and said, hey, I need to hear people talk about it, Goo's going to have that for you.
Yes, and I'm going to speculate. You're going to speculate. We're just going to speculate together. Should I have called the show Speculations? Colon, a WandaVision podcast?
So if you call it Speculations, it would have worked for more than one show.
Oh, you're right. Look out for wings and things. All right, guys, that'll do it for this week. Next week, we're going to do our March Madness bracket. We will announce those, and we'll get those out to you ready for March. And then the week after that, the 2021 movie draft. So many things are planned.
So many things are planned.
Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.